wrath of God abideth on him. But I'm glad tonight or today that I can say that I've got Jesus. Amen. Amen. Take your Bible, turn with me, please, to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. We'll continue our series of sermons that I've been preaching over the last several weeks of reminding us of the many enemies that we have out there as believers, enemies who are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And then, of course, they are enemies of the local church and the influence that they have over our lives. We've talked about Satan being an enemy. We've talked about the world and not the planet, but Lord, the cosmos, the world society and all that that has to do with the world, the makeup, the culture of the world. We've talked about carnality. We've talked about compromise. We talked about secular education and how that today has an influence over our younger generation and who has had an influence over many lives out there that has caused a disruption in our Christian life and no doubt in our churches. And then, of course, we talked about political correctness and the government's role and the government's desire. There's a lot going on through socialism and a lot of other things that are going on out there. But primarily, political correctness has to do with trying to silence the conservative fundamental voice out there. That's their ultimate goal. It's okay to be opposed to things, just don't say anything about it. And that's kind of the mindset of political correctness. And then of last week, we looked at Hollywood. And again, not the state, not the city in California that we're talking about, but again, the mindset, the culture, the attitude of the movie and the television industry and the social media industry out there and the great danger that it poses to our Christian life and our walk with God and certainly the powerful influence that it has over many churches. But today we look at another of the list of enemies that we have. And today we're going to talk about hidden sin. Hidden sins. You know, you say, well, preacher, does our church have a bunch of hidden sins? Well, I'm not God. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, we can find out, and as we'll see today, how that there's evidence out there when there is hidden sin in our lives and in our church. And it can cause great damage and great harm, not only to our walk with God and our spiritual lives, but it can also cause great damage to our church and the ministry of God right here at Lighthouse Baptist Church if those hidden sins are not dealt with according to the Word of God. Philippians chapter 3, stand with me as we honor God's Word. By now, you're probably getting pretty close that you can probably quote some of these verses here, but we'll begin reading in verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example. There again, I'm thankful for the example that we have in other believers and the example that many have, that they leave out there. Many examples out there that we have. Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul here just addressing and identifying those enemies out there. There's many of them out there. Then he begins to describe their end, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. And again, as I've shared each week with you, is that there's a payday for them. There's a payday for those enemies out there that are causing destruction and disruption in our lives and causing damage to the local church. God is going to deal with it in His time, just as He will the hidden sins in our lives as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love You. We thank You and praise You for your word and the reading of it. We ask now that you would bless it. Lord, as we ask your blessing upon our meals, Lord, we pray that as it's been divided, Lord, that it will be spiritual nourishment to our hungry souls today. Lord, meet the need of every individual. If there's one here today that does not know Christ, I pray save them today before it's too late. If there is a Christian that has wandered away from the presence of God and from the sweet fellowship of God, I pray today that you would draw that one back into yourself and into that fold once again, restoring that sweet fellowship that has been lost because of sin. We pray now your blessing upon every word. Lord, use it, we pray, for your glory, for your honor, and for our help. And we will thank you for all that you do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, as I deal with the subject of the enemy of hidden sin, you know, we can hide our sin. We can cover our sin. We can rename our sin, as many are doing today. Brother Ron talked about the word gay. Back years ago, it meant happy. It meant joyous. One that would rejoice. But today, what if they've renamed and we call gays today, they're homosexuals. But yet, here again, we can rename what the Bible refers to as sin. We can paint it a different color. We can put a different garment on it and make it have a complete and total different appearance to it all. But when it all boils down to it, sin is still sin. It doesn't matter what color you paint it. It doesn't matter how you decorate it. Sin is still sin. I've said this about death before. I'm not being unkind or harsh when it comes to death. Death is a reality. You know it as well as I do. Death stinks. Death is the last enemy that God will ultimately destroy. I'm looking forward to that day when he utterly annihilates death whatsoever. Won't you be glad of that? Amen. When death is swallowed up in victory, praise God. I'm looking forward to that day. But it does not matter. You can beautify, and we have. We try to beautify death. I mean, we put our loved ones in the best caskets and in the best vaults, and boy, we put the finest of sod over their grave. We have beautiful flowers. We have wonderful, beautiful songs that are said over our loved ones, and great sermons and messages that are preached to comfort those that are left behind. But death is still death. Death is ugly. Death is a terrible thing. It's an enemy. And that's the same way it is with sin. We can do everything in this world to beautify sin, but sin is still rotten. It's still deadly. It's still ungodly. And it ought to be hated by every believer. Now, I used to hear Donna's dad when he was our pastor many, many years ago at Riverview Baptist Church, and as Brother Ron was talking about this morning about death, he reminds us that every one of us get a turn. You realize that? We're all going to get a turn unless the rapture occurs. We're all going to get a turn at death. We better be ready when that day comes. That's all that's going to matter, is if we're ready for that moment in time. And a lot of times there won't be a knock at our door. There won't be somebody waving at us saying, "Hey, get ready, get ready." You've heard that message before. Get ready. Now's the time to get ready, not when the death angel passes by. Because you'll wind up and you'll be left behind. But I remember hearing Donna's daddy said, you can take an old sow. Or you can take an old boar hog out there. You can go over there and you can scrub that thing till he's as white can be. Or a lot of times you scrub an old white pig down, what color they get? They get pretty pink, don't they? And he said you could scrub that old pig down, that old sow or that old boar hog down. You could scrub them down, get them all clean. You could put a pretty red bow on that hog's neck. And boy, he'd look so wonderful, or she'd look so wonderful, be beautiful. But you know what's going to happen to that old hog? That hog, you turn it loose and it's going right back to the muck and the mire, back to the walla where that pig came from. And that's what sin is. You can paint it up, you can picture it up, you can make it look wonderful and beautiful, but sin is still rotten, sin is still dirty, and sin is something that we've got to recognize in our lives, and that you and I cannot hide those sins from the Lord. The Lord reminds us that there is nothing that is hid that shall not be revealed. Now note this, that the church is notorious for allowing enemies in. And this is an enemy many churches let in. And what is that? That's the sin of hypocrisy. The sin of hypocrisy. The Lord through the Apostle Paul warned us of many of those sins. And you remember when he told us to beware of the sins of the Pharisees, or the leaven of the Pharisees. What was the leaven of the Pharisees? Hypocrisy. That was what he was warning of. And hypocrisy is nothing more than pretending to be something that we're not. I've said this many times, that there is hypocrisy in every one of us. How many times have you ever come to church as a spouse, a husband and wife? You and your wife been arguing and fussing on the way to church. You walk into church doors and you smile, you shake everybody's hand just like nothing went wrong. What is that? That's hypocrisy. Or if the parents have been fussing and feuding and fighting over certain things, over the music that they listen to, or the clothes that they wear, and they've been fussing and fighting all the way to church because mom and daddy made them wear something they didn't want to wear to church, and they get to church, and boy, they all smiles, and they singing the hymns of praise, and amen, and the preacher, and all of that. What is that? That's hypocrisy. That's hypocrisy. And that's what I'm saying. Hypocrisy, it doesn't matter what color you paint it. Hey, we can hide our hypocrisy in the cloak of religion, but you know what it is? It's still sin and it's still hypocrisy. It doesn't matter what we call it. It doesn't matter how we picture it up, paint it up, color it up, dress it up, how beautiful it may become. Sin is still sin. And we can't hide it, we can't cover it, and definitely, even though we change the name, it's still sin. Psalms chapter 90, verse 8 says this, "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee." Our secret sins, he says, are in the light of thy countenance. What is he talking about? He's talking about the secret sins in our lives. The fact that you and I cannot hide from God. As we said earlier, that there's nothing hid that shall not be revealed by God Himself. Psalms chapter 69, verse 5 said, "O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee." God knows every foolish thing that we do. God knows every foolish desire that we have. God knows every time that we do something. Again, we may cover it up, we may hide it, we may dress it up to appear to be something that it's really not, but we cannot hide those things from the Lord. The Bible reminds us that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I've quoted these verses many times before, but in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, he says that all things are open and naked unto the eyes of him and whom we have to do. What does that verse remind us of? It reminds us that God sees everything. God sees everything. And he reminds us that the one that you and I will answer to is God. We will answer to God one day. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. Many of you could quote this simple verse right here, and we have many times before. But the Bible said, "Be sure." I like those two words, don't you? Be sure. You know what that means? That means you can bet on it. Even though I'm not a gambler, you can bet on it. It's going to happen. Be sure. It's going to happen. He said, be sure your sins will find you out. They're going to find you out in the darkness. They're going to find you out in the light. They're going to find you out in eternity, but they'll find you out. In other words, they're going to search you. They're going to search you down, and they're going to find you out. Here, I've preached this message many times before, but those sins will find you out. Number one, in your conscience. There are many people tonight or today that can't lay their head down on the pillow at night and get a good night's rest because their conscience is seared. It's seared with a hot iron. It's sin. It's seared with regrets. It's seared with ungodly sin and things that have transpired over the years in their life, and they cannot rest because of the conscience that they have. God won't allow it. You can also, your sins will find you out in your countenance, the way that you look. I've seen people over the years who their life has been marked and scarred by sins, and they may be young in age, but by appearance and their countenance, they look like an old man or an old woman, and it's because of the wages of that sin that has weighed heavy upon their lives. It's like the sin of Cain when he killed his brother Abel. The Bible said that his countenance had failed. In other words, there was a different appearance about him. I'm going to tell you, most of the people that their life is marked and scarred by sin, they may laugh on the outside, but I'm going to tell you, they may flower it up and paint it up and make it look, but I'm going to tell you, down deep, their countenance is scarred by the category of sin. And then our sins will find us out in our character. They'll find us out in our conduct. They'll find us out in our companionship, the people that we run with. You've heard me say this many times before, but if you run with the dogs, what's going to happen? You're going to get up with the fleas. You're going to get up with the fleas, evil communication. As Brother Ron quoted this morning from 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communication corrupts what? Good manners. It corrupts our lives. And that's the way our sin will find us out, by the crowd that we run with. I'm going to tell you, a saved individual that's right with God, that loves God, that is a church-going individual that loves a church, is going to want to be around God's people, around church people, around people that love God, and around people that love one another. But I'm going to tell you, those that want to live in sin want to be around that kind of crowd, where they're going to be influenced by those. And that's why the Bible reminds us that, I'm going to tell you, there's a danger of running with the wrong crowd, because they'll drag you down rather than you lifting them up. So it'll find you out. Your sin will find you out in your conscience, your countenance, your character, your conduct, your companionship. And yes, I've even said it'll find you out in your children. How many times have you heard your old preacher over the years make this comment? Look at your children today. Your adult type children today. Look at them. And you see something in their life that you dislike about them. If you judge them righteously, but you look in their life today and what you see in your children's life, I promise you, you can look back in your life and most likely it's something that is evident in your life. We reap so often as parents, and we reap through our children. Look at the consequences of David. We could go right down the list. You look at the kings. I've preached this over the years on generational sins. You go to the book of Kings and you read about these kings, and one says, hey, he followed what? In the steps of his father. In other words, he repeated the same mistakes that his father did. Why? Because of that reaping, because of that reaping through our children, but we also reap through our church. We can reap the consequences through our church, through our local church and our ministry. Galatians chapter 6, verses again that we all know. Be not deceived, the Lord says. Don't fool yourself. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, the Bible said, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We're talking about hidden sins in the lives of individuals. God's word gives a number of great examples and illustrations of those that tried to hide, tried to cover, tried to change, tried to flower up their sinful actions, but they were unsuccessful in doing so. Why? Because their sin found them out. Look at Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The very first act of sin on this side of eternity, on planet Earth, was with Adam and Eve. They disobeyed God. And as a result of it, I'm going to tell you, it plunged the whole human race from that time till the very present, till Jesus comes, into sin. Now, we can't blame them for our sin because you and I, we choose to sin ourselves. It's a choice that we make. We've got so many in this council culture society where everybody's blaming everybody for everything else and offended because you've said this or said that. I'm telling you here this morning, we can't blame anybody for our sin except ourselves. You can blame your mama and daddy, but it's not your mama and daddy's fault because you're living in sin. It's not your mom and daddy's fault because you're a failure, because you're a drunk, because you're a dope addict, because you are mixed up in things that you ought not to be mixed up in. You can't blame mom and daddy for that because you make the choice every day as every single one of us make the choice. We all make that choice. But Adam and Eve, they tried to cover it. They made what? They made aprons out of fig leaves to try to cover their sin. They went and hid in the midst of the garden. That's why God said, Adam, where art thou? Of course, we know that God knew where Adam was all the time. And the true lesson there is God wanted Adam to see where he was. And that's what God wants you and me to see today in our sinful action, is quit trying to hide it, quit trying to cover it, and tell God where we are and cry out for His mercy. Isaiah 55, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto the Lord. And what will the Lord do? The Lord will have mercy upon him, for He will abundantly pardon. That's what the Lord wants us to do today. Then, of course, there was Cain. There was Cain that tried to hide the blood of his brother that he had taken because of the wicked jealousy and envy that he had in his heart, because God accepted his sacrifice over Cain's sacrifice. And as a result of it, his hatred built up in his heart to the point where he killed his brother. But the blood of his brother cried out from the ground, and his sin was found out. God knows that. Then, of course, there was Moses. What did he do? He killed an Egyptian. What did he do? He tried to hide him in the sand. But, folks, somebody saw him. Realize this. There's not a sin that you and I can commit on planet Earth that somebody don't know about. We get back to social media. We get back to the computer. Everything that goes on that cell phone, I said yet last week, that's one of the most dangerous things that you can put in the hands of a young person today. One of the most dangerous things because of the access to that they have to anything and everything imaginable. That's out there. That's wicked and that is ungodly. There's not one thing that can go on that cell phone that somebody doesn't know about. There's not one thing that you can do on that computer that somebody does not know about it. You may erase it, you may delete it, you may do this, but I'm going to tell you, somebody knows about it. And this is true as well. The main person that knows about it is God Himself. And that's definitely the one that we ought not to be trying to hide. And of course, there was Achan. There was King Saul, and we know of David's sin. We think about Jonah. What happened? Jonah tried to cover up his defiance by what? Going to Tarshish rather than going to Nineveh. And God woke up, shook his tree, and got Jonah's attention. God found him out. God found Jonah going to Tarshish rather than to Nineveh. That's why he prepared a great fish and a storm. And Jonah was cast overboard. God had to get his attention. Then, of course, a few in the New Testament. There was Judas Iscariot. You remember at the when the Lord had told the apostles the night of the Passover. He said, there's going to be one here tonight that's going to betray me. There's one here tonight that's going to outright turn their back on me, going to forsake me, going to give me the kiss of death. There's going to be one of you that's going to do that to me. You know what the apostles began to do? They began to ask the question to the Lord Jesus. They said, Lord, is it I? Am I going to be the one that's going to betray you? Am I going to be the one that's going to forsake you and turn my back on you? There was not one apostle there that night that ever thought that Judas Iscariot was the one that would betray the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder why. Because Judas had done a miraculous job at covering up his tracks, of hiding the sin of hypocrisy, of hiding the sin of his lost condition, of his rejection of the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, he had it painted up. Judas was a religious man. Judas appeared to be a righteous man. Judas appeared to be, one of the best of the apostles. But what happened is sin found him out. Just as it will for you and me. And then, of course, we know Ananias and Sapphira. Here's another illustration of church people, church-going people. After the day of Pentecost in the local church was established, we know that it was their custom to give all that they had, and then the apostles were to distribute it to every man as they had need. And we know how Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of ground. And rather than give it all, what did they do? The Bible said they kept back a portion of it. And I've preached about this before. Their sin that they were covering up was not the fact that they were that they had kept back portion of it, which that was a sin. But what they did was they tried to cover it up and lie about it. They wanted people to think that they had given all when they hadn't. Folks, are we not guilty of that as well sometimes? As church-going people, are we not guilty of trying to make people think that we're more spiritual than what we really are at times? I'm not saying that we've got to air out all of our dirty laundry and that we've got to pull all the skeletons out of the closet. But I'm going to tell you, there's one that we do need to air out our laundry with, and that's with the Lord. We need to be honest with the Lord, and we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to pull those skeletons out of the closet with the Lord. You've heard me say, when it comes to confession, when our sin becomes public, we should make public professions. When our sin is still in secret, we should confess to the Lord. That's the way it should be done. But if a sin is ever made public, then we should make public professions of that sin and make corrections not only to the Lord, but to one another and to the church as well. So there was Ananias and Sapphira. Then, of course, we've got several illustrations in the book of Revelation. Look at the church of Laodicea. Here's a church that was rich and increased with goods. Here's a church that was lukewarm. And the Lord rebuked them for their lukewarmness. The Lord rebuked them for boasting of their and their arrogancy of all that they had and all that they possessed. There was a problem with the church of Laodicea. What was it? God was on the outside. The Lord was on the outside. That's why he said in Revelation 3:20, he said, "Behold," the Lord says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door," the Bible said, "I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." I think about that as so many churches today are the enemy of sin. When sin encroaches, what happens? Sin forces the Lord out. It pushes the Lord aside. And many churches have covered up and flour and sugar-coated their sin in their midst and the toleration of sin that has gone on rather than dealing with sin the way it should be in the local church. And as a result of it, God's outside. God's pleading with the church. I want in. I want in. I ask ourselves, or ask us today as a church, have we forced the Lord out because of the sin in our lives? The sin in our lives. Think about the church of Ephesus. Here's a church that in one breath the Lord was commending. The church of Ephesus, the Lord was commending them. But they had a hidden sin there. And the Lord reproved them of that sin. He said, "I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Is that not a sin, not to love the Lord? Or to leave, to forsake our love for God? Or for our love to be tarnished or diminished? Bible says we're to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all of our mind. You realize if we love Him any less, what is it? It's sin. And that's what happened to the church of Ephesus. Ultimately, they fell out of love with God. They were still going through the motions. They were still singing all the right songs. They were still preaching from the King James Bible. They didn't have that back in their day. They were still preaching from the manuscripts that they had, though. They were still teaching doctrinally truths. But they didn't have any love for the Lord. Sad, isn't it? How sad it is when all these things transpire. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in which I've said this many times before, that in the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, that's what Paul is dealing with. As he writes the letter to the church of Corinth, he is dealing with issues. He's dealing with troubles. He's dealing with problems. He's dealing with enemies that are in the church. And in chapter 5... of 1 Corinthians, Paul exposes. That's what I'm doing today. That's what I've been doing over the last several weeks, of exposing, reproving. That's what the word reprove means in preaching. We're to reprove, we're to rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But Paul was reproving or exposing the sin of infidelity, immorality, adultery, fornication, incest, in the church. Undoubtedly the church had covered it up for some times. Because he said, it's commonly reported upon you that there's sin, there's fornication among you. And he talks about such sin that should not even be named among us. Because there was a man there that had his father's wife in a relationship. And it gets so bad that what Paul does, Paul actually turns, at one point, he turns this one over to Satan. He said, that's what the church is to do. It gets so bad. This talks about church discipline. But he says they're to turn that one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the soul may be saved in the end. It gets so bad. It goes back to just like Achan. What did they do? They had to punish the sin severely. When Achan sinned, we know the consequences of that sin that it brought on the nation of Israel, and sin had to be punished severely. Achan and his family, everything that he had, God told Joshua to carry them outside of the camp, to stone them with stones, and to burn them with fire. And the Bible said there in chapter 22 of Joshua, the book of Joshua, that Achan perished not alone. Everything that he had. You say, preacher, that's pretty severe stuff. It is. This just reminds us, that doesn't mean that we've got to carry you outside here and stone you with stones and then cremate your body. But what the Lord is reminding us of, we need to deal with sin severely. We need to handle it instead of toying with it, instead of playing around with it, tippy-toeing around with it. We need to take it seriously. We need to take our walk with God, our service for God, the ministry of the local church. We need to take it seriously. Three things. Listen to this closely. I want us to consider on the enemies of hidden sin. Number one, the reason. Why do we hide these sins? Why do people try to hide, to cover, to paint a different picture of, to paint it a different color? Why do we do these things? Well, ultimately, there's three reasons. Number one, because the fear of being found out. The fear of being found out. That's the reason why people cover up their sin. Now, you know the homosexuals several years ago, what'd they do? You remember when they came out of the closet? They're bold about their sin. We're talking about hidden sins in the church environment. The reason that we flower things up and cover things up is because we don't want to be exposed. It kind of goes back, and I hate to say it, but Jimmy Swaggart back years ago, those of you know that. You remember when he was found out with the prostitutes and pornography and all of this? Hidden sin, that's what we're talking about. The most dreaded day of his life was when he was exposed. What does the Bible say? Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Neither cometh they to the light unless their deeds be what? Reproved or exposed. What is the Lord saying? Lord says that we're gonna continue in our sin until we're exposed. And what are we going to do? We're going to try to flower it up and paint it up and hide it and cover it up until we're exposed. The fear of being found out. The second reason that we try to hide, cover, flower these things up is because of the shame that is associated with being found out. The shame. It's humiliating for your sins to be made known. Can you imagine how it's going to be one day? Now, this is just mere speculation. But can you imagine how terrible it's going to be at the great white throne judgment? When every one of us stand before God and give an account. That's not speculation. The speculation is I've had over the years, can you imagine us standing there before all the saints of God of all ages at the judgment seat of Christ? And the Lord sends across the screen, the big screen, our life in panoramic view. how embarrassed would we be with all the saints of all ages seeing everything that we did wrong? Be humiliating, wouldn't it? I don't know that it'll be like that, but I can picture it being like that. Because that's why the Lord says all things are open and naked unto the eyes of him whom it have to do. The Bible talks about the judgment seat of Christ. Folks, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth at the judgment seat of Christ, just like there is at the great white throne judgment. Only thing is we're going to suffer loss there. We're going to be saved, yet so is by fire. But we're going to, and some will get in, as I've said, by the skin of their teeth. There's a third reason why people do this is because of pride and arrogancy. Proud. Rather than confess that they're wrong and sinful, they're full of pride. Pride goes before destruction, the Bible said, and a haughty spirit before a fall. In the book of 1 John chapter 1, the Bible says, if we say that we have not sinned, the Bible said we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. There are many people within the walls of our churches today that are going about saying, hey, I haven't sinned. What did King Saul do? King Saul said, I have not sinned. I have obeyed the commandments of God. What was King Saul doing? King Saul was deceiving himself, as many church folks are doing today. Pride and arrogancy. We see the reason for hidden sin. What about the result of sin? What about the result of these hidden sins? Sin, as I said earlier, is sin no matter what color you paint it. You can paint it white. Did not the Pharisees paint, did they not paint their lives? The Bible talked about painting their sepulchers, their graves, beautifying their graves. But what did the Lord say? He talks about whited sepulchers. You've made your graves beautiful, but what's inside? Full of dead men's bones. You remember at the tomb of Lazarus? When Jesus was fixing to resurrect Lazarus, and what did Martha do? Martha said, Lord, hey, he's been dead 4 days. You open up that tomb, there's going to be some stink come out of there. What's the result of hidden sin? Our prayers will be hindered. You realize that? What do we rejoice in here of Lighthouse Baptist Church? We rejoice this church is a house of prayer because we believe in praying. Do you realize that there's hidden sin among us? God's not going to hear our prayers. Psalm 66, verse 18. Bible says that if I regard iniquity, what in my heart? That means if I've hidden that sin in my heart, nobody knows about it, but if I've hidden that sin in my heart, the Bible says the Lord will not hear our prayers. That's the first result of hidden sin. If we've got hidden sin among us today, hey, our prayers being offered up here at the house of God, we might as well just shut the doors when it comes to praying. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 7 talks about the relationship of a man and his wife. And if that relationship is not what it ought to be, the Apostle Peter says there in about verse 7, he says that their prayers be not hindered. If our relationship with our spouse is not what it ought to be, our prayers can be hindered. What is the result of hidden sin? Our prayers are hindered. Number two, it disrupts our fellowship with God and His church. Sin always severs our fellowship with God. That's what happened to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They didn't lose their sonship, they lost their fellowship. As a child of God, we don't have to worry about losing our salvation because we're eternally secure. We've got hundreds of verses that support that doctrine, the doctrine of eternal security, hundreds of them. We've built message after message about eternal security. But sin does disrupt our fellowship. That's what happened at the church of Ephesus. That's what happened at the church of Laodicea. The fellowship was disrupted. Find a third result. It'll eat away at your soul, your conscience. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 32. Psalms chapter 32. This is a psalm of David. Of course, this is after David had sinned with Bathsheba. It said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is what? Covered. Now, in this regard, he's not talking about covering up our sin or hiding our sin. He's talking about covered with the blood. I'm glad my sin's covered with the blood, aren't you? Amen. I'm glad my sin is covered with the blood. Amen. Verse 2, blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit is no guile. David said, when I kept silent, my bones what waxed old through my roaring all the day long. What is he talking about keeping silent? Talking about hiding those sins in his life. That sin that had filled the heart of David, that adulterous sin, that murderous sin, that lying sin that had been in David's life, he had kept silent about that. He had hid that sin within himself. And what happened as a result of it? There was roaring all the day long. He says, for day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. What's that talking about? That's talking about conviction. That's talking about the conviction of God in our lives when we sin. I'm thankful when I do wrong, I've got that conviction. That's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to me, telling me, hey, you better get right. If you can sit there and sin and there not be any conviction, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you this morning, there's something wrong in your life. If you can sin and supposedly get by with it, there's something wrong spiritually somewhere, and it's not with God and the Holy Spirit. Notice what David says there. He says, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. He's talking about the anguish. That's what I'm saying. That's the result of hidden sin. It eats away at our soul. It gives us no rest. The fourth thing it does, it creates trouble for everyone around. Your sin, my sin, it doesn't make whoever, it doesn't matter. I talked about last Sunday night about the body of Christ. And that's one of the reasons that I'm glad that I attend church is because it allows me to see my place in the body of Christ. And what our role is in the body of Christ as a church. When one part of the body hurts, the whole body is affected. Do you realize when one person sins in the body of Christ, the whole body is affected by that sin? Was it not so in the life of Achan? Was it not so that the whole nation of Israel suffered because of the sin of one man? It creates trouble for everyone around. It creates an unwanted harvest, and we lose the blessings of God. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin, the Bible said, shall not prosper. We try to cover it up, we're not going to get the blessings of God. We see the reason, the results. Last of all, we see the remedy. The remedy for these hidden sins. The choice is yours this morning. The choice. Proverbs 29, verse 1, the Bible says, he that being often what? Reproved, hardeneth his neck. Brother Ron talked about rebellion and stubbornness this morning. Hardeneth his neck, the Bible said, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that with what? Out remedy. As a church, we have a choice to make. Have a choice to make this morning. We can cover, we can hide, we can flower it up, we can paint it a different color. But sin is still sin. What does the Lord want us to do this morning? There is a remedy for it. There's a remedy where God can pour out His blessing upon our church, upon our ministry, upon our lives. How is that? Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But the Bible says, whoso confesseth it and forsakes it, what shall have mercy? We'll receive the mercies of God. The first part of that remedy is listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 8, today, if you will hear His voice. The voice of God is speaking today. The voice of God is speaking to me. The voice of God is speaking to you today. If you will hear His voice. The Bible said, harden not your heart. Don't play the fool today. Don't turn up a deaf ear. Don't deny the fact that we've got hidden sins in our lives. Harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. In the book of Revelation, to almost every church, all seven churches there, He reminds us to each one, he that hath an ear, let him do what? Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know what God is doing today? God is speaking to our heart today. God has spoke to my heart. God is speaking to your heart today. We are hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit of God today. And He's saying, repent. He's saying, get things right. He's saying, turn from your sin and turn to me, is what He's saying today. Confess your sin and repent. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth it and forsakes it shall have mercy. 1 John 1:9, we all quote this. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, the Bible said He is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us of our sin. And to do what? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whew. That's good stuff right there, isn't it? All made possible by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, we're still talking about hidden sin. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, do we not say that as a church? If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, in other words, we got hidden sin in our life. The Bible said we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Folks, we have the promise of forgiveness. If we have sin, unconfessed sin in our life, hidden sin in our midst today, in my life, your life, or any life, let's confess that sin today and repent of it and leave here today with God's hand upon our lives. To the church of Ephesus, the Lord admonished them here. He said, remember from whence thou art fallen. He said, repent and do thy first work. There's the key right there to this remedy. Remember from whence thou art fallen. What is that saying? What that is saying is remember where you went astray, because that's where you need to go this morning. Remember where you went astray. Remember what sin it is in your life and in my life where we went astray with God, where we left God. That's exactly where you're going to find Him, is where you left Him. Remember from whence thou art fallen. There's so many things. Those stumbling blocks that are out there. Those temptations. Remember from whence thou art fallen. What's the importance there of remembering these things? Because we won't repeat them again. Remember from whence thou art fallen. Repent means a change of mind to turn from. To turn from the wrong that we've been involved with and make a 180 degree turn from sin to God. And do thy first work. Return to what we know is right and what we ought to be doing. That's the remedy today. Folks, I hope this morning that you've seen that hidden sin is an enemy in our spiritual life. It is an enemy of the cross of Christ, and it is an enemy of the local church, because all it takes is one of us to hinder the work in the ministry of God. We're a team. Quarterback goes down on the football field. You got a second string, maybe a third string might come in. But it's not the same, is it? We're a team. One person goes down, the whole team is affected. You ever seen that before? I remember several years ago, Alabama was playing Texas, I think, in a national championship game. It was going to be a struggle. Texas lost their star quarterback. It's only an opinion, but I think that sealed a deal for Alabama that time, because they never played up to their potential after that. Everybody's affected. One of us goes down. We're a team, folks. Together we're better. Together we're stronger. Together we weep together, we mourn together, we rejoice together. Together. Let's not let those hidden sins be an enemy to us. Let's acknowledge those sins, confess those sins, and forsake those sins. And let's continue to see the mercy of God on our lives. Amen? Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of it. Thank you, Lord, for the seriousness of it. I pray that we have taken it with a serious nature of this message today, because it's an enemy, Lord, that so many churches are plagued with today. As we look out across this land, there are hundreds and thousands of churches that are meeting together, that are existing today, that are going through the motions, just like many of the churches there in the Church of Revelation that the Bible speaks of, the Church of Ephesus, the Church of Sardis, the Church of Smyrna, the Church of Thyatira, the Church of Philadelphia, Lord, the Church of Laodicea. All these churches, dear God, that are mentioned there, they were all going through the motions. They all appeared to be doing the right thing, but yet there was the problem of secret sin in their midst. And the same was true of each and every one that you admonished to hear what the Spirit said unto them and to repent and turn to you. I pray today that we would acknowledge that, and that we would follow those exhortations today, that we too would acknowledge our sin, that we would confess it and forsake that sin. Help us, we pray, that we have the hand of God upon this church. Help us to recognize this terrible enemy in our midst today. And Lord, help us to destroy that enemy with your help, with the precious blood of Christ. The Bible reminds us of the tribulation saints, of how they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Father, we can overcome these sins by the blood of the Lamb. We thank you for it. Bless now this invitation in Jesus' name.